I got talking like you do, and then I forgot to make that announcement. But anyway, you figured it out when you walked back there, and she wasn't there. So I'll try to be brief as I can tonight, but without being thorough as well. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 5. Last week, we went through the first 10 verses in this chapter. Tonight, we'll cover just the last few, beginning in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Father, I would pray tonight that you would teach us this and that you would challenge us or encourage us to keep on doing what we ought to be doing. But whatever the need is here tonight, I pray you'd use it for your glory. And we'll surely give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to look there at verse number 11, where it says, ye are dull of hearing. We have dull hearers in the church. Or another word for that is immaturity. Now, last week, and we'll go back here to verse 10 and read it in just a second, but we, in the last 2 weeks, we talked about the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, it says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But, and I think the author of Hebrews would have liked to at that time continued his discussion on Melchizedek, and he will later in the book. But because they're so immature right here, he's not able to continue that. So he mentions the fact in verse number 11, you are dull of hearing. By the way, that is the third warning in the book of Hebrews. It begins in Hebrews chapter 5 and it goes through chapter 6. Now, the first warning was, do not neglect Christ's message that was given to the lost in chapter 2, where it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The second warning is given to save people, and that warning was about, and we studied this, we are not to doubt the promises of God. So the first concern was neglect. The second warning was that of doubting God's promises. And the third warning begins here in chapter 5 and verse 11 and continues to chapter 6 and verse 20, and it involves immaturity. And Christian people can be immature people. And when I say immature, I mean with the context where it says dull of hearers, I mean immature in the Lord. They're not growing. They're not progressing. They're kind of stagnant. They're kind of stale. It is a blessing to know, though, that sometimes when a person gets that way, that God, through His Spirit, brings them out of that stupor, you might say, and gets them back going in the right direction. That's kind of what we hope to see happen tonight, if anybody's in that case. So he'd like to talk about Melchizedek, but they can't handle it because they're dull hearers. The warning here is actually summarized like this. Lazy hearing, if I can call it that, can result in an entire life of sluggishness. Warnings against spiritual sluggishness. You know what I mean? And it's a warning against immaturity. Now, we wonder if, should we stay immature? No. Should any believer stay immature? No. So this is for everybody. But we are to crucify the flesh and its desires, and move on for the glory of the Lord. But I will say this. Excuse me. A good, healthy church has different kinds of believers in it. They have babes in Christ. We have probably about 5 adults in our church that should follow the Lord in believers' baptism soon. They're babes in Christ. Isn't it a blessing to have babes in Christ in the church? Because that means somebody just got saved not that long ago, right? So there's babes here. And they come up to you and they'll say, look what I found in the Bible. And you're like, oh, that's been, I know all about that stuff. Huh. Do you recognize that voice? Well, you ought to. Yeah, it's your mother's out there. She's got it. That, who was it?
Oh,
that's my kids, Brittany. You tell them stinking boys, I'll be out there in a minute. Anyway, I saw your mom walk in, then I seen her turn around and walk out. What'd she say? It don't matter. Is there any homicides going on out there? Only one by the sounds of it, that's right. Where was I? A good, healthy church has all different levels of believers. There's babes in Christ. We have several. We have people that are so-so. You know, they're growing, but perhaps not where they ought to be. And then there's mature people. And so the church has all of those. But, and we know this, God has given us His Word, and nobody needs to stay immature. The Word of God is food and it is nourishment for the life of the believer. And God has given it to there. And Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may what? Grow thereby. We're to grow in the Word of God. And so God has given us His Word so we don't stay immature. There's no reason for any of us to stay immature. So it says here, he's got a lot to say about Melchizedek, but he can't because they are dull of hearing. Do you still have four boys? Good. They are dull of hearing. This warning actually functions as an encouragement and also as counsel to those who have trusted Christ, but they are tempted to turn back to Judaism. That was to the Jews, right? Because of doubts, criticism, persecutions, and, you know, and then some people, they start living the Christian life, and then they come up with this, you know, is it really worth it? Let me tell you something. It's really worth it. It is really worth it. The song that we sing at the opening this month, you know, you will get to the place where you'll say, man, I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have lived a more holy life. I wish I'd have won more people to Christ. I wish I've done more for the Lord. So this is the warning here. This is perhaps a hint here to these unbelieving Jews as well who knew the gospel and they are not yet converted, and that's always a scary thing. But don't stay immature in the area, Paul, whoever wrote Hebrews, I don't think it was Paul, but I started to say Paul. Don't stay immature in the area of thinking that the Old Testament is better than the New Testament. And also another warning would be don't stay lost. But there are many New Testament exhortations to believers to grow up into maturity, but dullness hinders them. Now, what's dullness do? Number one, dullness prevents understanding. When you're a dull hearer, you don't listen intently and you don't pay attention to the preacher, or you don't... Here's one. Did you ever read a chapter in your Bible and stop and say, what did I just read? Okay, at that moment, I'm not saying you do it all the time. I've done it. If I've got something in my mind, I said last Sunday morning, I confessed I can be a scatterbrain sometimes, okay? If I got something in my mind, I can read a chapter and I can go, what did I just read? So I just go back and read that chapter. I mean, I don't know anything else to do. But I've done that. I've been there and done that. I've been dull of hearing. But dullness prevents our understanding. You can't just say, well, I read that chapter of Bible, and I got my three chapters in today, and cha-ching, now if I do that every day this year, I'll read my Bible through this year. Well, but you might not read it with any understanding. You might be dull of hearing. And before they could understand Jesus' priesthood being superior to that of Melchizedek, the readers needed to get beyond their limited, immature understanding of God. They were spiritually lethargic. You know what kind of frustrates me, and I suppose others as well? This attitude. I don't care. Who cares? Whatever. You ever hear people say that? You go over the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's kind of like you're training a child, you know. Again, and then they just don't get it. But I think some of them don't really care to get it. I think it's like they don't even want to get it. They just, whatever. Okay. Everybody's awake right now, because we've had enough humor here this evening with Dan and his boys. But anyway, everybody, and me also, but everybody's awake. But yet, you know, stand up here. Sometimes I swear people are sound asleep when I'm preaching. And, I mean, they're like, there was one guy that used to sit over there by that window, the second window. And I swear he was going to hurt himself. He'd be leaned over so hard sometime. And then there was an older gentleman, but he was on medication. His head would go back. and he would literally start snoring. I mean to tell you, somebody wake him up and he'd do one of those. I mean, it was bad. But that's dull hearers, and it's kind of frustrating. God has given us his book, and you know, we say you can take it or leave it. It seems like sometimes people just as soon leave it as to take it. Now, the relation to Christ and Melchizedek are rich, and they're meaningful. But babes and the lost people don't understand those things, and some don't even care to understand those things. Now, the word dull comes from the Greek word nothros, and it's two words. And you know what it means? No and push. And it literally means they have no push. Or you might say no drive. They're slow. They're sluggish. And in the context, it's spiritual dullness. Now, I don't deal very well with lazy people that don't have any drive there either. But my goodness, spiritually, people ought to have a little bit of drive in them. So people who are spiritually dull, you know what they are? They are very hard to teach. You just can't teach them. And you've heard me say this many times. People have to maintain a teachable spirit. And when you work with somebody, if you ever get to work with somebody, or unfortunately get to work with them, you probably ought to be the right way to say it, who is unteachable, good luck with that. It's like, I don't know. And what happens is it prevents understanding. Now, how do you stop dullness? How do you stop this being a dull hearer thing? Well, the first thing you can do is learn to appreciate the Bible. Appreciate the truth. Love the Bible. Love what the Bible teaches. Just love it. Appreciate the significance that it has to your life. Your life should be governed by the Bible. It ought to be the thing that directs your life and your lifestyle, your language, your thinking, and everything about you. Ought to be governed by the Word of God. So you appreciate the truth. You appreciate the significance that that Bible has in your life. And then you appreciate the necessity of growth. And you know what? You'll quit being a sluggard spiritually, and you'll start growing in the Lord. Now, this helps me. I don't know that it'll help you or not. A lot of times when I read my Bible, I like to read it with a pencil or usually a pen in my hand and a straight edge or a highlighter, although I'm more with the pen and the straight edge. You know why? So I can underline things in my Bible. Because I might want to preach out of that someday. Plus, don't ask me why this is, but research says if you hold a pen in your hand while you're reading, you pay attention better. And I don't know why that is, okay? And maybe it's true, and maybe I'm just telling you what I've read. And maybe it's not. But if you're looking for something, usually you know what happens? God gives you something. And so you can underline that, and then you can come back, and the next time you read that, you'll say, why did I underline that? And God will prompt your mind, the Spirit of God will prompt your mind, prompt your heart, and you'll be a good learner. But some people need to wake up and pay attention to the things of the Lord. The lethargic people in the book of Hebrews have many just like we have today. They neglect to act on known truth even after they claim to appreciate the truth. And it's a sad thing. And when we don't trust and act on part of God's truth that we know, we become hardened to it, and we become less and less likely to benefit from it, and may even reject other truth because of sluggish and dull hearing. So the first thing it does is it prevents understanding. Now, this is a warning to all of us here. Don't let yourself get there. All of us can get there. I've heard this before. Several years ago, this whole family ended up with a sad story too. But a lady came to our church for a few years. Then they stopped coming to Sunday school. Her kids were teenagers. She told me this. They already know everything anyway. Well, really? If I ask this question, you think you know it all, please don't raise your hand. But she said her kids already knew it all. And then it wasn't long. They weren't coming to Sunday school. Eventually, they weren't coming to church at all. And then, you know, they're having all kinds of problems. And it's just a sad thing. It prevents understanding. Secondly, dullness can be gradual. You better watch it. This is a warning. This is a warning. The implication of verse 11 is that people were once alert and interested, even maybe eager to hear the word. They got this way gradually, so I better be on alert, and you better be on alert. That's why you learn to appreciate the Word of God and appreciate the Bible of God and appreciate those that teach you and preach to you and exhort you in the things of the Lord, because it can happen subtly. Normally, a backslider just doesn't wake up and find himself way over on the wrong side. He doesn't just, you know, go from, we'll say, a zealous Christian who's got his act together to somebody who's living just like the devil. That normally doesn't happen that way. But it's a gradual thing. I can miss a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, a little there, a little here, and guess what? Pretty soon you're a dull hearer. Thirdly, verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you ought to be matured enough to be a teacher, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Next to that, in this particular Bible, I wrote two words. People aren't growing. I didn't write people. I just said not growing. Two words. Now, dullness is unprofitable. It prevents understanding. It can be gradual, but it's unprofitable. As long as they have been under the instruction of the New Testament truth, they should have known enough to be teaching other people themselves, but because they had not grown, it didn't profit them. Listen, Paul said this, the Word of God ought to dwell in your hearts richly. You may have been able to give these people an exam and maybe they were able to pass it. Hold your finger here just for a second and look at Romans chapter 2. Verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth of the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? That's a pretty powerful passage. In other words, they prided in the fact that they were great teachers, but in Hebrews it says, you aren't even qualified to teach. In fact, you should go back to kindergarten because you don't even seem to understand the ABCs of their own faith. In saying this, there are believers who know the scriptures and they know the biblical language and they know what the Bible says, but do not accept it or know what it means, or they don't even know how to live by it. And for all they know, they don't comprehend even the elementary teachings of the Word of God. Which I will say this, that is one of the things that's always a little bit nervous when you deal with young kids in the church. You can give them an exam and they can pass that exam. They know all the right, they can regurgitate them. They've heard them and heard them and heard them and heard them. But they might not be living them. They can say all the right things. When we are first saved, we naturally begin to clean up all the sin problems in our life. The more we grow, the more we see it, the more sensitive we become to it. But an immature person may be the opposite of the one described in the latter part of Ephesians. So it's unprofitable. They use foul language. They're dishonest in their dealings. They might gamble. They might live immoral. They might be quick-tempered. They might have ungodly entertainment in their life. They might make hasty decisions. They just need to grow up, because the Bible says, to whom much is given, what? Much is required. So it's always something to think about. Mature, grow up, accept responsibility, do and be what God wants you to do and be. But they don't. And they get to be lazy and sluggish, and they're called here dull hearers. And when the messages of God's word gets boring to them, and even if raised in the church, forget or can't apply simple truth, it's a scary thing. I am sure there are weaknesses in sermons. I know 100%. No preacher knocks it out of the park every time, okay? I've probably preached some sermons that I know I have, because I've gone over to my office and gone, break the trash can, okay? I don't want to hear that again. I've done that more than once, I might say. But the fact of the matter is, generally the problem or the fault is not in the message or the messenger. It's in the hearer. Dull hearers make the preaching of the gospel a very difficult thing. Now I'll say this about it. This church is easy to preach in. People listen. They say amen. For a northern church, this church is pretty good amen church for a northern church. And because people up north, it's like, you know, okay, don't get me out of my comfort zone. And they laugh, so you know they're paying attention. Because unfortunately, I give you things to laugh about, but that's a whole other story. But you guys are easy to preach to. You're a joy to preach to, actually. You listen well, you pay attention, you get it, you respond to the message, or you'll talk about the message later. You're a blessing. But their understanding here is weak, and they can't comprehend spiritual things. Their memory is weak, they don't retain the message. Dullness brings unprofitableness to the hearer. And it creates a situation where, look at verse 12 again, for a time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We've got to repeat what you were once taught, and that's necessary. Now, the oracles of God, that does not necessarily refer to the gospel. Oracles were the laws of God, and oracles were the mind of God. This is a great advantage that the Jewish had. They knew the Old Testament, or supposedly knew the Old Testament, but the Jews did not understand the meaning of their own law. They didn't get it. They needed somebody to go back and show them again. Now, look what he said at the end of the verse. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. So you were here, you said you knew the law, but you don't really know the law, and you're dull hearers, and now we got to go back and teach you all over again of the principles of the orals of God, and you become those that need milk and not strong meat. Now, that's a sad thing. A baby doesn't come to need milk. A baby is born with the need of milk. The only person who comes to the need milk, to need baby food, is one who has gone back to childhood. And that's what he said they did spiritually. And instead of becoming more mature, they were becoming less. They were slipping back into spiritual infancy. That's the warning. Let me warn you about that. Please don't let that happen in your life. You don't have to let that happen. Did you know nobody has to backslide? I've heard parents say, well, you know, my kids are going to sow their wild oats. Why? They don't have to sow their wild oats. People don't have to do that. People do that sometimes, I know, but it's not necessary. Here's the point. If I don't progress, I regress. By neglecting truth and allowing their hearts to become hard, now they can only handle milk and like to starting all over again. So the warning, it is easy to hear the word over and over until it becomes commonplace and meaningless to them. And I will tell you, don't let that happen in your life. And so instead of pursuing the truth of Christ and giving their lives to Christ, they become spiritually sluggish and even stagnant. It's a sad place to be. They become dull of hearing, they become slow of understanding, and they must be fed just like a baby is to be fed all over again. Now, we call that backsliding. You are either going forward or you're going backward. And then look what he said in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk, these are the immature ones, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A spiritual infant is not accustomed to deeper truths. Last week we talked about the high priestly ministry of our Lord's. This passage fits naturally in here because it's like, you know what, you guys, you just don't understand the high, and I don't mean you guys, I mean in the text, you don't understand the high priestly ministry of the Lord and what a blessing it is. The spiritual system, like the physical, has to grow to be able to handle the difficult things of the Word of God. And then he says in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both the good and the evil. And the principle here is this. The mature believer has discernment about things that are right and things that are wrong in many things, in most things. And they can tell the difference between true and false. And they can tell the difference between helpful and harmful. They can tell those things. Righteous and unrighteous. And the immature, they don't. It's just, and it's not a matter of age. It's a matter of spiritual growth in somebody's life. And they just, you know, they just are immature and they don't get it. But since the writer of Hebrews goes on in chapter 7, which still one more chapter before we get there, to explain Melchizedek, it seems he expects his readers to mature spiritually before they get there. Now, he seems to say, grow up, and I think you will. That's what it seems like he said to him. I would love to see every person that we win to Jesus mature as they ought to mature in the things of the Lord. So in plain English, it's a sin and it's a shame for persons that are their age in the church to be babes in Christ. And we ought not to stay that. Now, some people, and you probably know some, they claim to be saved for years. I mentioned one that I ran into in Sunday school, a lady this past week, I believe it was. Could have been last, but I think it was this week. And been saved for years, and some of the stuff that this poor woman believes is she's just, wow, she's out there. Some are quicker, but all need to get there, and this is a rebuke to those who stay as babes. One last thought. Some sermons, emphasis on the word some sermons really aren't enough. You need to be saturated. Our pastor used to say that. You need to be saturated with the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this, and I just want you to ponder this. Are you committed to maturity? I mean, are you committed to grow and stay strong in the Lord and not waver and not compromise biblical truth? And you're just going to stay there. And you're not going to go back and be a baby again where someone has to say, oh, yeah, where you might say, oh, yeah, the Trinity, I remember. I mean, that would really be pathetic, wouldn't it? Somebody got back that far? But are you committed to maturity, to standing on your own two feet, to where you don't have to lean on people, but they can lean on you? And then you become a pillar. But we would say you become a pillar in the church. All the young kids in our church, and there's several in our class on Wednesday night, and I don't know how many's going to, I have to count the Patch and the Pee Wee kids one of these days when they're all together and see how many. There's a lot of them. But you know, one day we expect all those kids to grow up and be spiritually mature believers. We expect all the teenagers in the church to grow up to be spiritual mature believers. We expect all the adults from 20-ish to whatever-ish, we won't say an age, to stay and become spiritual mature believers. You know, some people say, what's God's will for my life? Well, there's one thing that's God's will for your life, that you become a spiritually mature believer. Boy, I've said that enough. I hope you remember it now. To where you stand on your own two feet and you can become a pillar in the church. And let me say a couple last things. Learn to think. Just be somebody that reads something and thinks about it. I was talking, one of the missionaries is going to, well, I kind of gave it away, probably. Hopefully, you'll figure it out when he gets here. How's that? He teaches at a Bible college not far from here. And we got talking about this one day. And I said, it just seems like the young people today can't think. And he looked at me, he said, boy, you got that right. He said, I have to go back to college. He had to go back to college, and he had to tell them everything that was going to be on the test, or they couldn't pass the test. You ought to be able to, you young people, listen, don't let me scare you, but you ought to be able to pick up your notes and your textbook, and you ought to be able to go through that thing, and you ought to be able to think it through and figure out, that'd be a good question. Ooh, that'd be a good question. Ooh, I better learn this, because that's a good question. You know, I did all of that when I was in college, and I always came up with way more questions that were on the test. But I didn't know which ones all the time were going to be on the test. Because all of our professors didn't tell us what was going to be on the test. And I almost, now I'm not bragging, but I aced almost every test I ever took in college, except one class, English. I hated that class. It was like a ninth grade, you poor kids in the ninth grade, Rebecca. I took ninth grade, Rebecca, and I still, I did better in Greek than I did in English, okay? That's how bad I am with English. Because all these exception rules of this, that, and the other thing is, it ought to just be consistent all the time. But it's not. It kills me. It killed me. I hated that class with a passion. I'd be honest, kids, I just did. But, you know, you had to learn it. You study and you learn to think. So So he goes all the way back to college to tell those kids what's going to be on the exam because they can't think. Secondly, you need to learn to make decisions based on the Bible. Why do you do what you do? You grow in the Lord, you mature in the Lord, you learn to think, and you learn to make decisions based on the Bible. I was talking to, I forget who, somebody around here, and I said, you know, it's nice to work with people sometimes that you don't have to tell them what to do next. They can look and they can see what needs to be done next. That's nice to work with people like that. Otherwise, you know, they just get standing around. Well, eventually, it's nice to where they get to the place where they don't just stand around. They just say, oh, yeah, over there, look at that. If nothing else, grab a broom and sweep something, man, but do something. You're going to be all you can be for the glory of God. Don't stay a babe. Maybe you're here tonight, you're backslidden. Maybe you're here tonight and the Word of God just doesn't mean as much to you as the Word of God used to mean to you. Maybe you fit right in there, verse 11, where it talks about you are dull of hearing. Let me ask you, are you a dull hearer? That you? That's a warning, and it's a question. Because if you are, it'll prevent your understanding, and it'll be a gradual thing, and it'll get worser and worser. Bad English. That wasn't on purpose. It'll get worse and worse, and it'll be gradual, and it'll be unprofitable, and you may even need to relearn some things. And last question, and I told you I'd be quick. Are you going forward? Are you going backward? Now, you're in, either you are or you aren't. You're either finding preaching exciting and the Word of God exciting and fulfilling, or you're just finding it, mundane. We're all in one of those sides of the aisle there. I hope you're on the side that says, I love the Bible. I love the Word. And if you're not, you need to take that to the Lord in prayer and confess it, and you need to do everything you can do to learn to appreciate the Word of God and how it affects your life all over again. Father, I don't want anybody in our church to be a dull hearer. And I know every sermon that is taught and preached is not the best. And I'm sure some of the sermons I do teach, somebody else could take the same thing and be superior. But oftentimes the problem is not the message or the messenger. Oftentimes it's the hearer. They just don't find excitement in the Word of God. It's a sad state. It can be just a gradual thing. So as we move through this book, we now end chapter 5, and it's the third warning that we're beginning. And Lord, I pray you'd mature all of us and that the church would not take this warning lightly, because it can happen to all of us. It really can. That's not your will. Your will is that we stay excited about the things of the Lord and continue to watch you answer our prayers and continue to watch you do amazing things. But we got to appreciate the Word of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every one of us will. Amen. All right, so if you're a dull hearer, you go home and you take care of that tonight, would you please?